Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 208. Continuing our positional previews to get you ready for the 2025 fantasy baseball season. Outfield part three, part trace on this episode as we mix it up here to go south of the border. ADP 61 through 90 get you done with the outfield here and probably much more as weeks go on. But first, you can find me on Twitter at MediaIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, the Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bluefield. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. You getting a sneeze out? Yeah, there it goes. You were like halfway through that read. I could tell you were about to explode halfway through that intro.
Perfect timing, right?
When we started the show. God, I was getting worried about you, man. Just let it out.
That came out of nowhere.
All right.
Good for now.
I'm good. I'm good. This is my first podcast of the day. This is your fourth, so I've got a step up on you there. I had a hell of a time last night, Monday night, with Ben Tidd streaming our Beat the Bloom online championship, which was a ton of fun. That was Patreon only for our subscribers. We had like 20-30 people in there pretty much the whole time.
That was cool.
So it was a ton of fun. I was getting just body bagged by Ben, by the chat, by other drafters in the room. So I feel like I came out okay on the other end, but we'll see. But Fantasy Pros liked it, for what it's worth. I put that in the Discord today and got buried even more. So, it was a good time. And now I am, while you're podcasting, I'm trying to put together all the listener leagues. So we just sent out the survey to paid subscribers yesterday and throwing together 9 to 10 leagues and kind of make all the pieces. We talk about building a fantasy team, like putting a puzzle together. That's like a little puzzle my five-year-old would make. Putting this puzzle together of listener leagues is like that 1,000-piece behemoth. But yeah, we're working through it.
You are doing the Lord's work with this every time I see an update on what's going on here. And keep the people that did get the survey emails, please fill those out quickly so we can wrap that up. And NFBC is ready to give us links for the leagues, and we'll get that party started. Drafts will start in the middle of February, as we've mentioned before. But a couple announcements. We don't need to announce the listener leagues because that is a done deal for now. A couple announcements, though. We have PitchCon. PitchCon is starting this Thursday, January 30th, going Thursday through Sunday. 4-day just basically fantasy baseball marathon that the wonderful people at pitcherlist.com put together. They raise money for ALS once again. They go to the foundation ALS One. Last year, they raised over $10,000, which is absolutely outstanding. And you can do so because there's a bunch of prizes donated to that. You can go to pitcherlist.com/pitchcon to go find all the information you need there. That gives you the places you can donate. The more you donate, the more raffle tickets you essentially get is what it comes down to for all the prizes. Us, we will be doing the 12 Eastern Friday presentation, which will be a live Bubba and the Bloom podcast. So no show Thursday night, but we're going to be doing some Bloom boards, I believe, on Friday, and a part of PitchCon. And the prize will be given away. I don't know if it'll be on our show or it'll be later on in the weekend. I don't know. But we're going to give away a full year subscription to the Patreon. Full year. So pretty fun stuff there. I don't know if you have anything to add to PitchCon, Ryan, but that's going down this week. Always a great cause.
Always a great cause. Certainly, it's a cool kind of, again, 4-day thing to just, like, I try and listen in and watch in as much as I can just while I'm working or whatever. Great cause. A lot of great smart analysts, and the entire schedule's out on Pitcher List, and it's just you kind of read through everything that Nick put together with everybody, and it's pretty wild. Just the people contributing to it, the topics and that sort of thing. So I'm excited, happy that Nick thought we were worthy enough to have a 1-hour slice in PitchCon. And yeah, we're going to kind of simulcast our next show. So yeah, like Bubba said, we will not stream live on Thursday night, but we will be live 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 Eastern on Friday. So yeah.
Yeah, we'll be live there, and eventually I'll have that on a podcast form for you guys later in the day. So if you can't catch it live, you'll still get your normal thing. So instead of waking up Friday morning to a podcast in your feed, you'll get it later in the day, which you could wake up and watch us live almost if you prefer, if you're able to, and have some fun with that. And if anything, more importantly than just our silly show, donate to a good cause and get in the raffles. Like, ours is just one of many prizes that'll be given out there. Pitchless usually gives out a membership or two to their PL Pro program. There'll be like Fangraph stuff. There'll be a ton of things. Like HQ usually.
HQ gives out a it's all tiered and stuff. But if you hit 10,000 as a group, they're giving away First Pitch Arizona registration. They're giving away some subscriptions and books and all that stuff as well. So yeah, really good prizes.
Yep, go support the cause there.
Yep.
Couple other bits of news here. Obviously, Baseball HQ has been kind enough to donate a bunch of cool prizes to our listener leagues. But don't forget, if you want to get in on the draft prep subscription that you have from now through the end of April, so you still have February, March, and April, essentially 3 more months to go, and we are rocking and rolling on content. Ryan's next forecaster drops tomorrow, I guess. No, or next week.
Speculator, yes. Yep, Wednesday.
Yeah, Speculator, yep. Sorry. Speculator. I submit my next PT tomorrow, Wednesday morning. That'll be out later in the week as well. So everything is rolling right now. So if you want to get in on the draft prep subscription to get you ready for your fantasy drafts, plus get you a good taste of what Baseball HQ has to offer, use code Bubba Bloom, BUBBABLOOM, for $10 off the draft prep subscription at baseballhq.com with promo code Bubba Bloom.
Listeners only. We are not showing this on social media or anything. So it's just for listeners of the show. If you want to check it out, let us know how you like it. I know that you will, because I like it. I use the projections all the time, my own stuff. So give it a shot. It's a great deal. I think you will not be let down.
All righty. Let's get cracking, Ryan. Let's get cracking on the final board of the outfield. It is, as Ben Tidd said in the Discord, it's like a piece of Bubba's steaks he posts online, rare steak red.
A lot of rare steak red on this one. And for new listeners to the show, what rare steak red is, a kind of an inside joke on the show, since Bubba's such a gourmet chef, and since I color code all my bloom boards and whatever, green is good, red is bad. There's a lot of bad on this outfield 61 through 90. A lot of it is because we are comparing these projections, which is what we're looking at on the YouTube stream. We're comparing these steamer projections to the entire outfield pool as a whole. But one of my, just immediate takeaways, I felt this in the draft last night, was that cliff. I mean, I've been talking about the outfield, like 55 through 60 type cliff that I've been seeing in the projections and also in drafts. And I think this is, once you have fallen off the cliff, this is where you land, and this is the crew that you're looking at. So it's rough. We'll get through it tonight. We're going to try and find some little pockets, but yeah, man, there's not much green on here at all. If I could also, we don't have this color coded on the bloom board. If I could color code the playing time projections, there'd be a lot of red there too, because we are starting to enter city limits of Platoonville with this crew.
Yeah, between the playing time comments you just made and looking at the red on the board, this is why on the last show we emphasized having probably at least four of your outfielders before you finish the top 60, which is still like basically 250 and ADP, a little before that. You need to have at least four, if not all five of them. Like, that's why we talk about this. Ryan, you experienced having to get some late round outfielders in your OC on Monday night because you waited and passed on guys like Parker Meadows for Andrés Giménez and made some other decisions like that. So you realize what that was like, unlike me, who just waits on pitching. You don't have to worry about those situations. But did you enjoy shopping in this part of the board?
No, not at all.
This is me getting even, since I couldn't be live in that feed.
I had to piece together my fifth outfielder, and it was right in the, I remember saying this on the stream, it was right around the 19th, the 20th round. So in a 12 teamer that is picked 240. So that's right in line with where we're actually starting tonight's show, because the first guy is Nolan Jones at an ADP of 249. I remember making that comment to Ben right around that 19-20 turn. I was like, man, outfield has died. And so what I mean, how I did it, I don't know if I'd recommend this or not, but I took kind of a hybrid approach. I took my outfield five, which was Matt Wallner, who we talked about on the, oh no, he is on this. He is on this one. Matt Wallner's ADP of 278, kind of power only, low batting average, though I'd maybe take the over on Steamer's 231 projection for Matt Wallner. But I took Matt Wallner as my outfield five and Jacob Young as my outfield six. And I think my general plan, assuming those guys both play or whatnot, is kind of week by week, I'm going to try and balance that power and speed between those two and try and kind of make one player based out of those two guys. I don't know if that's the right approach or not. I am taking an extra roster spot by doing that, but in the heat of the moment, that's what looked best to me, which may or may not actually be best, but that's what I did. So we'll see.
And honestly, I don't mind having to get one out of this group, especially in an OC. You can stream your fifth outfielder in a 12-team league, so it's not the end of the world. It's just fun to give you a hard time.
You don't want two of these guys, though. I mean, I think because you have to be realistic about your rosters. You can't. We make a point of this every preview episode. Is like, you can't check every single box at every position. So, like, yeah, ideally you'd have your outfield set by ADP 250, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. But realistically, you're probably taking one of these guys and churning it in fab. What you don't want to do, I think, is have two fifths of your outfield be this.
Yep, I agree with that completely as well. So kind of like what we did to finish up the last show is we started talking pockets of five and we each picked a player and we could obviously, you know, if we want to add thoughts on other guys, we can just like give Twitter 240 character type answers. That's fine. We don't have to hit all 60 players essentially because most of these guys are, yeah. So let's get at it here. 61 through 65, Ryan, you got, and it's ADP 249 to 264. Nolan Jones, obviously a massive ADP difference from 2024. Byron Buxton, quote-unquote, healthy right now. TJ Friedel, Garrett Mitchell, and Lars Nootbaar. Who is the player you would like to discuss in this range?
I would like to discuss Nolan Jones just because I think this is just kind of the ultimate like positive regression type play or really last year's bums type of play. We rewind 1 year from... 1 year ago, and Nolan Jones was a top 60 pick. Agree with that or not, but that's the reality of the situation. And so, again, all of these guys have warts. I'm looking for ceiling at this point in the draft. If Nolan Jones doesn't work out, like ADP 250, it's not a free pick, but it's not going to kill you if it doesn't work out. And it's just one of those like high ceiling, low floor types that I'm going to take a shot on. Nolan Jones, this is just his age 27 season. I know the back injuries are pretty brutal. The plate skills are pretty brutal. But again, I think there somewhere in there is that 2023 season that we saw from Nolan Jones. Even if he never gets back to that level, if he can recapture some of that, at least for the first half of the season, I think you've made a profit at this pick. So Nolan Jones coming off just the terrible season that he had, being a top 60 pick just 1 year ago at an age where he can still bounce back at 27. For all those reasons, that's my pick out of this five.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Like Jones could easily be a 250, 15, 15 guy. Maybe he's more of a 270, 15, 15, just takes advantage of the BABIP world of Coors Field. Like there's a window where he could easily outperform this ADP. So I'm with you on it. At this range of the draft, when we're looking at the rest of this board right now, not opposed at all of that type of situation. So I'm with you there. For me, it's Garrett Mitchell. This is a guy I loved at the beginning of draft season. Then I kind of like sat back and like, okay, what are the freaking Brewers doing here? And things are slowly clearing up. Nothing is 100% set in stone yet. I think that's why he's still getting drafted at ADP 257. But it looks like Garrett Mitchell is going to be the primary center fielder for the Milwaukee Brewers, which I love, which is what he should be. 26 years old. We saw him hit 8 homers, steal 11 bags in just 69 games last year while hitting 255, which I thought was very promising. Throughout the minor leagues, we've seen a little bit of power, but a ton of speed, which is what we want to see, and good batting average skills. Projections have him, like Steamer has him for only 113 games, going 15, 19, and 236. I think the average is way too low for him. I get it. Strikeout rates, 41, 35, 32. It has gotten better every year, and the walks have gone up at the same time. These are rates we didn't see in the lower level, so I think it's an adjustment period for Garrett Mitchell. But as the strikeout rates dropped, the ISOs also went up with Garrett Jones or Garrett Mitchell, which I think is very, very important to see. So we're seeing a young player develop is where I'm trying to get at with this. We saw 9% barrel last year. We've seen above 10% the previous two smaller samples. Now the X stats say he massively overachieved. So maybe that's where some things are leaning to as well. He does have like a near 56% ground ball rate last year, which is not great by any means. But again, we're talking small samples here. I'm looking at the overall skill set of a young player that should be hitting in the middle of a very productive Milwaukee Brewers lineup still to this date. So if I want to take a chance on upside here, a guy that could, you know, if he runs into it, he's a 15-20, 15-25 guy. Because the reason I say that is if they're projecting 113 games, what if he is the everyday dude? Now you're playing over 140 games. You got to project higher type things. Like use Ryan's you know, newest sheet. He is aggregator. Mess around with the plate appearances. Have fun with that. Like there's ways to see what Garrett Mitchell could really do. And I think if you project him for 140 to 150 games, he jumps off the page in this range. And I'm a big fan of taking that jump again, because we're talking about so many end game pieces that are platooning or just look pretty lost, where Garrett Mitchell looks like he's young. He's got the hype behind him, the pedigree, the favorite word everybody loves with prospects. And I think we could see a new next step for him this year.
And I think outside of TJ Friedl, I think I'd put Garrett Mitchell near the top for plate appearances among this group. Like with Jones and Buxton, just injuries, Lars Nootbaar, also injuries. So did want to give a shout out to Kevin Hastings in the chat, Wallner, as well as Friedl pop in the auction calculator when you do dollars per plate appearance. And so that is a big thing with TJ Friedl, just to give him a quick shout out. You look at the steamer projection, 19 homers, 18 steals, 250 batting average. It's not going to hurt you anywhere. There's some risk, I think, of a platoon. The Reds just signed Austin Hayes today just to have another righty bat coming off that bench. You know, your guy, Austin Hayes. But TJ Friedl's another, I put an honorable mention. I like Nolan Jones more. I just think the ceiling's higher, but and I'd probably go Mitchell too. But TJ Friedl is at least acceptable in this group.
Yep, fair enough. All right, ADP 66 to 70. We got Matt Wallner, of course. You know, Ryan's favorite guy, Matt Wallner, Joey Gallo, whatever. JJ Bleday, Michael Conforto, Joe Adell, and Willier Abreu. I actually like this range a lot if you want to talk about upside chances. So who's your first target in this range?
Dude, I think I gave the Wallner Gallo comp like 2 years ago, man. That's a long grudge to hold, my friend.
You brought it up last year every time I'd mention him in Fab or whatever else. You kind of died off at the end when he actually proved you wrong, but you mentioned it for a while.
And this year I'm drafting him.
Yes, that's right. It's usually how it works when you and I disagree on things. You come around.
I come around. Eventually, I come around to the wisdom of my elders here.
There you go. Respect your elders, yes. Yeah.
Out of this group, since you took Wallner and that is your guy, I'm not going to steal your thunder there. I'm going to go Michael Conforto. I like how the power now that we're – it was a pretty gruesome shoulder injury. I think a multi-year thing. He missed all of 2022 with that shoulder. The power finally came back last year with your Giants. It was a 12% barrel rate. 20 homers, that's nothing great. But in the forecaster, we had 26 expected homers on top of that. And then I think – first, the biggest thing is the lineup. And I think I think Conforto – is going to play maybe not every single day, but he's a regular in that LA lineup. I'm taking the over on the 19 home run projection from Steamer, probably the 244 batting average as well. And in an LA lineup where I don't care if you're hitting low in that lineup, it's stacked throughout. Michael Conforto is a very nice blend of elite team context, good skills, and some track record, not the highest ceiling. So if you're pure speculating here, maybe he's not the play for you, but I think Conforto is one of those few like safe yet productive outfield options who I think is going to play fairly regularly in a great lineup.
Yeah. I almost put Conforto down instead of Wallner, but I'm like, I got to talk about Wallner. So that's how that's going to go.
Twist that knife again.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I was going with this one. But Conforto, I love him in this spot here. Honestly, surprised his ADP hasn't risen more. When he signed with the Dodgers, I thought that would go up higher because he's been healthy. He's been good, very serviceable, and in a better lineup. So like, I agree with everything you're saying. I think he's a very fair outfielder five. If you decided to wait, you could fill that void. I like taking him as depth in DCs quite a bit. So like Conforto. All right, the man, the myth, the legend, Matt Wallner, 13 home runs in 75 games last year, 14 and 76 the year before, average up to 259 last year, struck out 5% more, so that's a uh-oh situation. But he hit 259. But look at this, 17.5% barrel last year, 18.8 the year before, 53% hard hit rate this past year, 117% max exit velocity. Chicks dig the long ball, they say. He had a 47.6% fly ball rate. He's had it above basically a 22% home run to fly ball in all three seasons in the big league level. Yes, there are concerns with the swing and miss with Matt Wallner. That is fair. Platooning's pretty much out of the question. He actually started playing a lot versus lefties. They just moved him farther down the order, but they still played him, which was good. But I could see like a platoon makes sense because he hit 275 versus righties, 184 versus lefties. He had 12 of his 13 home runs versus righties, so he just destroyed them, given he only had 38 at-bats versus lefties compared to 182 because they started letting them play versus lefties later in the season. So I'll mention that. But the splits, this is where you can throw your Gallo stuff at the wall and stare at it for a while. First half, Wallner hit 213. Second half, 272. 272 for Matt Wallner. So that is pretty good, I think, in a roundabout way. If we're looking at the other splits, he struck out 46% of the time in the first half, down to 34% in the second half. So he got better plate discipline, even though it still sucks. That's much better.
Down to 34%.
Yeah, I'm taking it. Still much better. Much better.
I mean, that's Tony Gwynn. He went from Joey Gallo to Tony Gwynn in one season.
I'm glad you're acknowledging that. That is very, very big of you to acknowledge that. But I just love the skill sets. I love the improvements he's made. He's still not that old. Lefties have tons of power in that ballpark. At this ADP, like, we're drafting a guy. He's projected for 21 home runs because still to this day they're giving him 122 games. He shouldn't platoon that much. If he stays healthy, another guy 140 plus. I think he's more of a 30 home run guy, and he might hit for a low average. That's fine, but you give me 30 home runs, he'd be the only guy in this picture, the only one. Somehow Buxton and somehow JJ Bleday are projected for more homers than Wallner. He's the third most home runs projected on this sheet, and I think he legit has the most home run upside of anybody on this board. So Matt Wallner it is.
I don't know if Matt Wallner, and so this is why I said I backed up immediately at when I took Wallner last night. My next pick was Jacob Young, because I don't know, even if Matt Wallner is out of a platoon, you
might not want him, as I mentioned with the split.
Yeah, like so he had 217 plate appearances against righties last year, just 44 against lefties. So maybe they started to play him regularly, but he only had 44 plate appearances against lefties last year. He had one home run. He hit 184 off of them. He has a career. This is Jesus Sanchez-esque. Matt Wallner has a career 481 OPS against lefties. That is awful. Like, you don't need to know what league average OPS is, whatever. Anything that starts with a four is terrible. So just know, if you are, everything you said about Matt Wallner, I agree with, except for the Tony Gwynn part, even though I guess I said that.
You said that, yes.
Just know, I still think you need to treat Matt Wallner as a platoon bat.
Okay.
It's very hard to start Matt Wallner in a half week where he has two lefties.
I agree. It's hard to start him in a half week with two lefties. I'm not going to deny that, but I'm still not running away from him because he's not in a hard platoon type situation. Like, if it's a four game week and it's three righties and one lefty, you suck it up and you play him type, like, against that one lefty.
I'll go with that. But
which in years last year it was still questionable, all things considered. Yeah. All right. ADP 76 through 80. We have Jordan Walker, Evan Carter, Luke Raley, Jacob Young, Hunter Goodman. I am really excited to hear what you have to say about Jordan Walker, because Matt Thompson opened my eyes to a whole new world on him, where I've actually taken a couple shares in Underdog over the last few days. So I want to hear what you have to say on Jordan Walker, and I'm very curious.
And if Matt Thompson can be positive on a St. Louis Cardinal.
Jordan Walker, let's put it this way, not a union worker.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like some of his teammates. So like, I'm honestly just betting on, and so what we're referring to is Bench with Bubba, St. Louis Cardinals team preview that came out this week. So everyone listen to that. Matt Thompson knows his Cardinals inside and out. So check that out. This is just me speculating on a kid that's still 23, was a top prospect in baseball. Yes, I could have said this exact same thing last year, even 2 years ago. I'm just hoping that it clicks at a 290 ADP. If it doesn't, I'm fine with it not working out. This is just the type of play I want to make around pick 300 where I'm shooting for upside. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to churn this part of my roster anyway. That's really it. Jordan Walker, to me, I guess I haven't heard that part of the Cardinals pod where Matt was talking about Walker. But, like, I just think this is a make or break season for him. And if it doesn't work, it's fine. If it works, like the ceiling of Walker compared to anybody else that we just listed in this group. I mean, Luke Rayleigh, Hunter Goodman, Jacob Young, Evan Carter, I'll give you maybe that ceiling is high since he's so low, so young, but Jordan Walker is just a ceiling play at this point. And I think he plays regularly, which can't be said for a lot of these other guys.
Plays regularly. There's a world where we could see, like, they got him in the outfield, but maybe he DHs
first base, right?
First base, or
I did listen originally to that. A third baseman. Right.
Yeah, there's a world where you get him out of the outfield, which is not a comfort zone for him per se. So that's something there. Big time ground ball guy, but still, like, the crazy part about Jordan Walker, and I apologize if you said it, but when we were talking about him, dude is going to be 23 this year. I feel like we've been talking about him forever.
Yeah, I mean,
like, yeah, super young.
It's crazy.
Super young. They got a new hitting instructor with the team. That's what got Matt really excited about a potential improvement here to work with Walker. So at the ADP, I think it's worth the shot. Like, this time last year, Walker was going so much higher because the hype train was through the roof. Like, you take that chance here and see where it goes, because even if the projection of 255, 17, and 7 hits at an ADP of 290, that doesn't hurt you. That doesn't hurt you at all. So I'm with you on Jordan Walker. I like that one quite a bit.
It's funny. Eric Cross just tweeted, reminder, Jordan Walker is younger than 26 prospects currently on his top 100 overall, including Kobe Mayo, Matt Shaw, Chase DeLauder, and Dalton Rushing. Now, and not to get too far off on a tangent here, but, like, Jordan Walker has had like two or three seasons in the majors. And I think that is more indicative of what he's going to do as opposed to just blindly speculating on age. I think once you have been in the majors for so long, you kind of know who you are, no matter how old you are. So there is that caveat, but still, it is pretty wild that Jordan Walker is that young.
Yeah, but to be fair, he's only got a 643 career at bats, plate appearances. It's like one season in theory. So, again, it's not consistent. There's been a lot of yo-yos with him. As Kevin Hastings says, not long ago, it would have cost you a fourth rounder for the dart on Walker. Definitely worth a shot here, which is definitely an interesting deal for me. All right, for me in this range, I am going back to Evan Carter, ADP of 296. A couple of years ago, Evan Carter was a spark plug to win the World Series for the Rangers, OBP machine in the postseason. Then he goes in 2023 in the minors, was 13 homers, 26 steals, 285, comes up, 5 homers, 3 steals, hits 306 to go into the postseason, so on and so forth, which is pretty sweet. And then you got last year where it was 5 homers, 2 steals, 186, played 45 games, massive back injury, missed pretty much the rest of the season. Tried to make comebacks, didn't work, back and forth. Got some work done on his back. He's already basically ramping up. Knock on wood, things are good to go. And we talk about it all the time, back injuries. They're nasty. I get all of that. But again, this is me speculating on a guy at nearly ADP 300 who should right now be starting in the outfield with Adelis Garcia and Wyatt Langford. Those should be the starting three. Right now, Leody Taveras is in a platoon in the outfield or a fourth outfielder. That's what they have going on right now. They want the youth to go there. And when they signed Jock Peterson, that basically put Leody to the bench. Is what took place there. Now, if you believe that, great. If you think Leody platoons, okay, well, that could be a thing, because we've talked about Evan Carter's splits, but again, 22 years old, can we really say that? He has 237 plate appearances at the big league level. Evan Carter, to me, is like a 15-20 guy. He's got more speed than power, hits for a medium average. in one of probably on paper the best lineups in baseball. One of them, obviously not the Dodgers, but a phenomenal offensive lineup. So Evan Carter is another one. I don't mind jumping back on the train. ADP new 296 last year was what, 100 to 150. Him and Wyatt Langford both going back to back. Carter's a nice bounce back. We have a trend here at Nolan Jones. We've got on this list of potential bounce back guys. I think Carter should be on that list as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to dog you too much because it's ADP 300, but I don't know if Carter plays against lefties. He was never able to hit against them in the minors. He is an elite like walk rate guy who doesn't run a ton. One of those ultimate like better real life players than fantasy. Are you taking Jordan Walker or Evan Carter?
2025? I'll take Jordan Walker. I was going to put him down on the sheet actually, but you had him first. Yeah.
Searching for beer bets here, but
no. At this range, it's going to be tougher to get me to like you might get me on somebody, but this range is tricky to get really in love
trying with to fish. Guys. Trying to fish.
Yeah. We'll have some good beer bets, I think, when we start doing our pockets of ADP. That's when we'll have some fun.
What do you think, just real quick, about Jacob Young? So in the chat, Kevin.
I just recorded the Nationals today, so this is I'm curious your question here.
I'm curious of your – you have all these advantages. You pre-record all these team previews with inside info. I don't have
Well, you know, Lauren Auerbach brought the Thunder and the Lightning for the Nationals. Jacob Young is a tough one for me because he's a rabbit, but bright side, he's a rabbit going around pick 300. So he's not like costing you a ton. He's not going to hit for power, but he's got good defense, should be in the lineup every day. Probably hits at the bottom of the order. So if we believe what we keep saying, Ryan, that the Nats lineup is as good as we think, should be a lot of run possibilities for Jacob Young, which should be a plus. And literally 30 steals is a floor for him. This Nationals team ran so much last year. That was one of the big topics on the show, is you just go through this list. It's crazy how much these guys run. And I think it was – how many did he have total last year? Give me one second here. Jacob Young stole 33 bases. I believe I remember what Lauren said. It was 33 bases in like 41 or 43 attempts. So just green light after green light after green light. Like Dylan Cruz had like 12 steals and 15 attempts in like 30 games. Like, these dudes just run. And if you need steals late, I think it's phenomenal. Like, based on how your team build works, and he doesn't crush you in batting average at this point in the draft, like compared to other outfielders on this sheet. So I get it. Just be very comfortable in your power because you're not going to get jack squat. But you could get a good like three to four category guy. You might get average steals and runs scored, which is harder to find as the draft goes on. So I don't hate him. It's just not a guy I build around. But you mentioned pairing him with Walner. I get it.
And that I think that's, you're not building around any of these guys. I think you're using all these guys in spurts, either via platoon or in Jacob Young's case. And Kevin makes a really good point that his defense will keep him in the lineup. Even if Jacob Young is in the lineup every day, I still think from a fantasy aspect, you need to pick and choose your spots when you want to use him. Because if you have a full season of Jacob Young in there, 6 home runs, which is the steamer projection, like that just destroys you. And I don't have RBI up here. I'm sure that's equally as horrendous.
36 so again, last year, he's projected for 46 RBIs.
Yeah, like that sets you back so much. So again, it's more picking and choosing your spots, playing the matchups with someone like a Jacob Young and all these platoon guys.
He played 150 games last year, had a 0.075 ISO. 85 WRC plus.
So yeah, he's got no power.
Yeah, you can confirm that. Brutal. Let me have a 1.6% barrel rate. Base 25. Maybe he figures it out. I don't know.
Probably doubt not.
It. Doubt it. All right. Before we get to 76 through 80, got another announcement for you. Underdog Fantasy. We talk about it a lot on our shows. We talk about it in our Discords. We're gonna have an Underdog show coming up. We've had them before on this show. I've had them on Benched with Bubba. We're gonna have more stuff again throughout the offseason and into the season, and we're doing a little work with Underdog Fantasy, which is pretty cool for the boys here. If you're new to Underdog, if you want to get in, the Dingers $10 right now. The Bunt one just filled. Bunt two will be out. It's a $3.20 max that'll be out soon. They did like 3 bunts last year. You got your solo shot. You got some eliminators. They're going to keep rolling out tournaments, which is a lot of fun. And if you're new to Underdog, you can use promo code Bubba Bloom, B-U-B-B-A, B-L-O-O-M, and you can get a first-time deposit match up to $1,000. So if you deposit $100, they'll match $100. Deposit $1,000, they'll match $1,000 if you're a first-time depositor by using code Bubba Bloom. So go check that out. We will have more to come for you there on the aggregator Ryan has. There's Underdog information there to help you draft as well. I don't know if Ryan has anything else to add, but we love Underdog at this place, and it's cool we were finally able to put something together to help the show and help you guys get some free extra cash if you're new to the service.
I just love the synergy of the same promo code on HQ and Underdog. I think maybe just go around to very random fantasy websites and just start typing in Bubba Bloom and see what happens. I don't know.
You never know, but check it out.
Happy to partner with them. We are going to do similar to what we did with the draft and hold primer early in draft and hold season, which is kind of lay out the basics. And then I'm going to do some kind of, you know, numbers based research and whatnot to show on the strategy side. We're going to do something similar with Best Ball and Underdog. It's definitely sometime in February. So we'll keep you posted there.
Yep, most definitely. All right, let's go ADP 76 through 80. Roman Anthony, Brandon Marsh, Matt Vierling, Johnny DeLuca, Trevor Larnach, ADP 315 through 336. And I had a very tough time picking any of these.
Same. I mean, did you write someone down?
I did. I wrote down Johnny DeLuca just because I have to. But this is a bad area to me.
I agree. Matt Vierling is someone who, like, if even if he plays, what is he actually, you know, what would you say you do here?
Yes.
To pull an office space line. Like, Trevor Larnach's fine. When the Twins face righties, Brandon Marsh is fine, but a platoon bat. Roman Anthony, we've got a listener question on this, so I won't dive too much into this, but like, I think in a draft and hold, Roman Anthony can make some sense here, but I think in a fab league, like right now, I'm skeptical Roman Anthony breaks camp with the team and starts with the Red Sox. And I think even though he's like the number one rated prospect on a lot of circles for 2025, Roman Anthony, I just hate stashing anybody, especially in leagues with no IL spots. I'm not saying Roman Anthony's going to get hurt, but it just limits your stash options. So out of that group, I won't talk about, I'll let you do DeLuca, but like you're picking and choosing spots with Brandon Marsh and Trevor Larnach, but I see those guys being streamers throughout Fab all season.
Yeah, no, I agree. They're pretty much all are streamers. And like you mentioned, Roman Anthony, who knows? Who really knows? I put Johnny DeLuca, ADP 333. We look at the Rays in years past, we're like platoon. They've kind of gotten rid of most of the platoon options right now. Even Roster Resource only has the DH platooning, and there might be some more moving and shaking. Richie Palacios is on the bench and some other guys, and there's always options. But for the most part, not much. And Johnny DeLuca in center field, they like his defense, for one, came over from the Dodgers in the Glasnow deal. Last year we saw 6 homers, 16 steals at 217 in 107 games. Started out on fire, got hurt, came back, was mediocre at best. He's projected for steamers and 14 homers, 15 steals, 231. I think that's a little more promising. When you look at DeLuca, so you're talking about a guy that might go 15-15 if he plays enough. Like, he doesn't barrel the ball. He's more than Jacob Young, but we're not talking big numbers here when it comes to DeLuca. But for me, it's more just playing time. The new ballpark might play livelier. That's a plus as well. And if I can get another 15-15 type guy that if he runs hot, performs better, that's how I kind of look at this range. Again, I don't like anybody really in this range, but I don't hate DeLuca. I've taken DeLuca in some draft and hold formats. But in a fab league, I have a tough time taking any of them.
Yeah, I think you lost me at I think the line was if he plays enough, he could get 15-15.
So. He's projected for 14-15.
Yeah, it's great.
That's good at this point. It's a 231 value. What world are you living in?
I know. I can't be too like. And that's old and
let's be fair. That's projected in 115 games. He's supposed to play every day in center field. So that projection goes up.
Yeah, maybe.
But this is the point of the draft where you try to predict projections are wrong.
Yep.
Like you try to look for that.
Full agree.
So a guy like DeLuca, if we believe he's not platooning and his defense keeps him on the field, you get 35 more games potentially or 25 more games out of him. Like, that's at least, 3-4 more home runs and steals? Like, we're getting closer to 2020 at this point.
Dude, did you know Eloy's on the Rays?
Yeah, yeah, he is. Yes, he has. I think it was a minor league deal, though.
What?
He got signed to. I think it says that on the.
Did you write that up in one of your news and notes? Because I.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure I did a quick. I think I did a blurb and I was like, yeah, I'm still not interested type thing. one of those kind of
not
blurbs.
Saying, not saying Eloy's going to take no. over Johnny DeLuca.
They haven't put tuning spot. With Aranda at DH.
Okay. But I think the point you made was just spot on in terms of like you're looking for spots where you're disagreeing with common wisdom at this point. And if you do think Johnny DeLuca plays every day, I guess he's an Oregon Duck. Scott chimes in with that. Probably knocks him down a couple ranks for me then if that's the case. But if you believe Johnny DeLuca is a center fielder every day for the Rays, it does make sense to take a shot here.
And Michael C. says, I mean, he's fast and Tampa runs. He could steal 25-plus. I agree.
Ballpark, yada, yada. Yep, I get it.
All you're doing is speculating in this range. Like, you play – majority of any player on this board gets drafted. Most will be dropped at some point this season. Like, you aren't – these are – if these guys finish the entire year on your team, they outshot every projection known to man. Put it that way.
This is a tough episode. This is a tough episode.
Not an optimistic show. Well, we are trying to be optimistic to convince you, but
well, you're trying to be optimistic, and then I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe I've had a long day. I'm just like poking holes. I'm kicking these guys while they're down.
It's okay. Yeah. That's what I'm here to twist the knife the other direction.
Yeah.
All right. 81 through 85. We have Hester Kjerstad, Starling Marte, Dylan Moore, Ryan O'Hearn, Andrew Benintendi. This is the greenest section on the board.
I guess it's green because it's green because Starling Marte and Ryan O'Hearn are projected for good batting averages, but I don't know how much Starling Marte plays anymore for the Mets. He does not have a starting spot. I think if anything, it's a short side platoon until injuries come up. And knowing it's Starling Marte, he may be one of those injuries that come up. Ryan O'Hearn was kind of my guy and a little bit too long last season. He had a great first half and then totally tanked. Hester Kjerstad, I'd be interested in Hester Kjerstad if I thought he'd play. But I don't know. He would need an injury. And if you're drafting Hester Kjerstad, you're not waiting for an injury to happen there. Andrew Benintendi, another what would you say you do here type. I know he had 20 home runs or whatever last year. I know I saw your mouth open when I said that.
He's my guy to talk about.
Okay.
I'll bury him before I even get a shot to speak.
I just got to bury all these guys. I took Dylan Moore. Here we go. I took Dylan Moore.
You're burying these guys. You took Dylan Moore.
I took Dylan Moore in the 30th round of pretty much Mr. Irrelevant in the online. I know. I mean, he plays everywhere. I'm just maybe banking on he qualifies everywhere. I'm banking that Dylan Moore plays, but he could be a short side platoon bat if Seattle were to ever sign a even moderately impactful free agent. So now that I've kind of crapped on everyone well enough. What do you have on Andrew Benintendi?
Andrew Benintendi, can I sell you some oceanfront property in Arizona? Yes, Andrew Benintendi coming off a year, he hit 20 homers, stole 3 bags, and hit .229, his lowest batting average pretty much of his career outside of a shortened 2020 season, but also the tied for the most home runs in his career and the fewest stolen bases since his rookie campaign. So really weird year. We talked about this a lot on the show. Like, we streamed him. He was very valuable towards the end of the season in fantasy, like very valuable towards the end of the season, which was very strange to say about Andrew Benintendi. But to me, it's like, if he gets back to normal, we're still talking about a guy that's going to hit you 14 to 15 home runs. Hopefully he runs a little more and gets you closer to 10 bags. Usually a good 250 to 260 average isn't going to kill you. He's a 15 team more than a 12. Like, if he's more than 20 home run guy, he fits into a streamer in a 12. I'll say that. If he's just the boring 15, 10 hits 260, he's a 15 team outfielder. Like, weirdly enough, that's just where he fits in. Should hit in the middle of the White Sox order. That's not always a ringing endorsement. I'll be 100% there, but maybe they get better. They have a lot of youth. If they let them have their chances, and maybe Miguel Vargas improves and Brian Ramos gets some run. Like, there's a lot of what ifs. I get it. It's the White Sox, for crying out loud. But Benintendi will play every day. He has the highest contracts in team history. So Benintendi will be out there. And honestly, he's a boring, deep league fifth outfielder with maybe streaming upside in 12s. and at an ADP of 359, that's what we're looking for.
I mean, I think I've taken Benintendi in a couple draft and holds because of the plate appearance factor.
Yep.
So I get it.
Great in that kind of format.
I get it. I just think like in fab leagues, though, like you've got someone, it's a Gene Segura all-star, except like you're not even expecting him to do anything.
Yeah, it's true. So. Speaking of which, did you see Gene Segura was playing down there in the Lidham League?
Yes, I did. I did notice that.
I saw a tweet on that. I meant to send that to you the other day. I was laughing, so I'm like, oh my goodness, there's Gene Segura.
Yeah, there are always like some random. I think Robinson Cano. I don't know if it's the same league.
Cano played for all Nelson Cruz. Yeah, they always.
How old is Nelson Cruz now?
I don't think he played this year, but like he played for a few extra years after. Like those guys will play down there for a while. Like that's their jam. So good for them. Good for them. All right.
Wasn't there that like league in the Middle East that started last year? When like...
Yes, that Cano's a part of as well. Yeah, he's one of the top draft picks in that league. Bartolo Colon's over there.
That's right.
Yep. I'll see tweets about it. Like they're playing games, but I don't know when, how, what. Like, I know nothing about it. But yeah, it's apparently happening. All right. 86 through 90. Sorry, 86 through 90.
But really, who's counting at this point?
You can't tell them apart at this point. We got Big Christmas himself, who actually might be the most exciting player on most of this board, if you want to talk about it. John Kinsey Noel. Dalton Varsho, who's fallen off the face of the planet with his shoulder injuries. Max Kepler, we thought we once knew you. Pavin Smith and Jake Fraley. ADPs 363 through 388. Ryan, who do you like here? And please don't bury my player right away.
I'll defer for a little bit. I would go. God, I would in a draft and hold. I'd taken Dalton Varsho, and I'm just kind of planning for, hoping for, like decent numbers from him, decent power and speed from Varsho over the last 4 months of the season. That's kind of where I'm taking Varsho as like a sixth or seventh outfielder. Once someone in my top five gets hurt, theoretically Varsho may be good to go by May and fully healthy and that sort of thing, and can kind of fill in as an injury replacement. I would not recommend taking Dalton Varsho in a fab league. He is not good enough to stash in most league formats. The other guy I throw out there is Jake Fraley. I know destined for Platoonville. The power just completely dropped off the face of the earth last year, but there is a track record of better power from Jake Fraley, and the park is good. The batting average and the steals should be there. So I think in a platoon bat, again, I think Jake Fraley is going to be someone we're talking about on our fab previews every Thursday this season, because he is going to be one of those streamer types. But I think Jake Fraley, he differentiates himself because a lot of these platoon bats, including the guy you're going to talk about, a lot of those guys are kind of a low to middling batting average with power. Jake Fraley is not that. He's a platoon bat who can give you a decent batting average and steal. So it's at least a different type of player that can stream and make an impact in different categories than your normal big lumbering platoon first base corner outfielder. So I'll go Fraley.
Yeah. The good thing about Fraley is if he was not platooning, Fraley is like a fourth outfielder, sometimes a third outfielder in formats. Like he's that good.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
But now he's platooning. So you have to like just take that. But look at the projection, 256, 14, 18.
It's good.
That's better than a lot of this board. Like that's a very good thing. So this comes down to PT. So it's a tough draft in a 12, but a guy to definitely keep an eye on if injuries take place. Burks mentions it. I was going to throw it out there too, but Errico Varsho said Varsho should be back in April. Yeah. I've seen similar things. Like he's already working his way back from the shoulder injuries. They don't expect him to miss much time, if any, to start the season. So we'll keep an eye on that.
I still think though, like, and that's why I kind of mentioned in the last 4 month comment is, will he be Dalton Varsho right away when he comes back off shoulder? Maybe, but I don't
that's
know.
That's very fair.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, my dude, Pavin Smith of the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's where I'm going to go here. Outfield eligible, should get some run at first base, maybe. They do have Josh Naylor there, so maybe he just DHs and plays the outfield now. We'll see. We saw 9 homers in 60 games last year while hitting 270. That was a big breakout moment for him. He's actually shows insane plate discipline, 11% walk, 20% K, at 15% walk the year before. So that's been a plus for Pavin Smith. Also, a guy that had a 15% barrel rate last year after a 7.5 and a 10. So it's like it was a big jump, but not completely fluky at the same time. Xstats thought he should have had a 293 average, which is nice as well. 43% ground ball rate. You'd hope for a, you know, compared to a 38% fly ball, you'd want more there. But my point being, with Pavin Smith, tons of power from Pavin Smith, which is really, really good. So that's awesome. And then it just comes down to playing time. If they give him the DH role, I'm all about that life. Like, he should play. They might platoon him, but strong side of a platoon. We're talking, again, ADP 370 with Pavin Smith. The power is legit. It's just come down to consistency of playing time with him. That's the million-dollar question. So, like, you look at the projections, they have him at 10 homers and 2 steals in 84 games, hitting 250. I think he plays at least 120 to 130 if he's the everyday outfield DH left-handed bat, and then things change quite a bit. So, again, speculating here, but it's a guy I think he's closer to a 20-home run bat than a 10-home run bat. Let's put it that way.
Agreed. Well, to take this episode full circle with our Matt Wallner comps.
There's a lot of similarities.
The Matt Wallner comp?
That's fair. Later? I don't know. That's actually very, very – very close. I think Wallner's got more legit raw power, but both are, if they both have the same amount of games played, you're getting a very similar player 100 picks later. I agree with you on that.
I do think Wallner is safer from a playing time standpoint. Yes. I think you're going out a little bit on a ledge with thinking Pavin Smith's a regular or even a regular platoon. It could definitely happen. It could definitely happen. And again, he's going 100 picks later than Wallner, so 370. I'm good with it. I had Pavin Smith's forecaster box, and basically kind of just said what you said. I closed it out saying useful in-season streamer when he plays, but don't factor into draft prep plans, which I think is still valid. Like, I think this is ultimately another one of those like righty heavy weeks. You use them. If they play a lefty or two, it's tough. But we'll see.
Yeah, now there are a lot of what ifs. I'm not going to deny that when it comes to Pavin Smith. But I think at his ADP, there's some serious upside at that situation.
I think he went to UVA.
Can't draft him then, huh? Can't draft him at all.
Nope. Got to cross him off.
Him off the list.
Never mind.
He's a Cavalier, folks. Can't be having that Hokie land.
Sorry.
UVA. Wonder what Ryan Nelson's numbers are against Pavin Smith. And or Nelson was a duck, too. Which pitcher was a duck? Fodtech you like to talk about?
Joe Saunders?
No, I thought there was somebody else. Maybe I'm mistaken. No.
I mean, the only good Virginia Tech guy is Kerry Carpenter.
Oh, Kerry Bonds. Gotcha. Yeah. All right. We made it through 90. It was an interesting episode to finish it off. Final thoughts on the position before we hit listener questions and comments and whatnot.
I think, I know you started the comment. I'm gonna steal it from you. I think Adam in the chat sums it up very well. Adam's comment is, this board is telling me to get my fifth outfielder before this range. That's ideal if you can. If they don't, they'll be fab fodder in 12s by May, maybe June in 15s, depending on the free agent pool. I agree with that. I think for the majority's sake of these guys, they are going to be featured on our Thursday Fab Preview shows as just kind of that borderline waiver streamer type.
100% agree on that one. And yes, that sums it up in a big, big way. All right, got some listener questions here for you. Let's start with the old Twitter here, and it comes from Adam himself. What are the most common categories at outfielders in that range, this range we talked about tonight, or helping, or at least not tanking in your earlier base of counting stats? What's the most common? I guess, do you get a lot of 15 plus home run guys?
I mean, so let's just throw out some names at the end of the show here. So just by projection, there's Byron Buxton, who's going to get power when he plays, Wallner, Blade. I'd go Luke Raley, I think, is a decent power option.
Yep. Get Conforto.
Conforto.
I like Adele if he's another one. Like, I like that Wallner to Adele Abreu area. I like that area quite a bit.
You've got some speed options with TJ Friedl, Garrett Mitchell, Jacob Young. I'm hesitant to even include Dylan Moore because you're probably using Dylan Moore in the infield if you even are using Dylan Moore. And then batting average, dude, like, good luck. This is why we say build an early batting average, because two out of these 30 guys are projected to hit 260 or higher, and that's Starling Marte and Ryan O'Hearn. Like, there is no batting average here.
What's Marte play, 50 games maybe?
Exactly. So, like, and I don't know if O'Hearn hits 267. I would take the under on that steamer projection. So this is why we say, because you have to fill out a freaking roster with 14 hitters, this is why we say build that batting average cushion in those early mid rounds, because it's you cannot ignore the batting average drain with this group.
He also says, are they the old and boring type with locked in jobs, or are they low floor, high ceiling types?
I'd say generally low floor, high ceiling, yeah, with the exception of, like, I mean, I'll throw TJ Friedl and Michael Conforto, maybe even like a JJ Bleday in there. I think those are guys you can target that are old and boring. I guess JJ Bleday is not old and boring, but like Conforto and Friedl, I think you can live with those guys as regulars. But other than that, I think you're shooting for platoon streaming, or just shooting on like a Jordan Walker and hoping it hits. If not, turn and burn.
Yep, I'm with you on that. Now to the questions from the Discord. King Kurland, Mike Kurland himself.
What?
Apologize now, folks. I have to navigate between comments and questions from Mike because they all sound the same.
Yeah, Kurland immediately left the trail of stuff. So, yeah, that's for you to figure out what's the question. What's the...
we'll go to Sean Chard here. As of now, what percentage chance do you... Or what?
No, Adam. Adam said thank you.
As of now, what percentage chance do you give Roman Anthony a breaking camp with the Sox? What about by the end of April?
I don't think Roman Anthony. I just think there's too much outfield competition right there, and I think they give him a little bit extra shot. And if Roman Anthony is not up with the team at the beginning of April, it's that ultimate waiting game, which again is why I hate stashing. You think he'll be up in May. He doesn't come up until, I mean, I don't know if it's the best comp. Like Paul Skeens wasn't up until whenever he came up, late May. So you just don't know. And that's why I hate stashing someone like Roman Anthony. So,
all right, here's a curling question. Who are your end game must-haves in the outfield, most owned, targeted, etc.?
I mean, no one here is a must-have.
No, he doesn't have to be on this board. He just sat in the outfield. So who's like your biggest late target? It could be from the last sheet for posterity's sake, if you'd like.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go, since I took them last night, I'll go George Springer and Jesus Sanchez. They're going a little earlier than this group, but I think you can count on those guys late with good projections and good skills.
If the lowest ADP guys I know I have a lot of, I'd have to go back and check the exact number. It's either Elliot Ramos or Cedric Mullins. They're the 49th and 50th outfielder off the board. I have quite a few of both of them. So
full agree.
I know it'd be one of them for sure.
And they're like ADP 200-ish.
Yeah, so I got them right here. It's 212 and 219 since January 1st. So
yeah.
All right. Aaron Gifts says, who gets the most plate appearances on this list?
Your boy. It's your boy. It's Andrew Benintendi.
No, for sure. As long as he doesn't get hurt, he is going to get all the plate appearances. That is a very actually probably the easiest question we'll have tonight is if he should hitting cleanup and should play at least 150 games, if not more.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. Should be Benny. Now the one I put opposite that based on lineup slot and injuries, JJ Bleday would be very close.
True.
He'll play pretty much every day and their offense might hit five at bats more often than Benintendi in some games, if that makes sense.
You might actually want JJ Bleday's plate appearances as opposed to Andrew Benintendi's in your lineup. So that's that also is a factor.
Yep. All right, Kurland has another question. Follow up, any FOMO guys you may be wanting a share or two of before the end of draft season?
I don't think I've taken Jordan Walker yet. So even though I talked about him already, he's going to be a FOMO guy I'm going to want. Like, I will be kicking myself if there's a Jordan Walker breakout at ADP 300 this year. Like, that's one of those things where we could look back next year at this time and be like, in hindsight, it was so obvious. So I don't want to miss out on a Jordan Walker potential breakout.
FOMO outfielders. A guy I only have like one or two shares of that I know I want more of is Jason Dominguez. I know it's not on this board, but just talking outfield in general, that's a guy. The more, like, they flat out came out today and said he's going to be the starting left fielder. Like that, the more they keep backing up him playing every day is getting me more interested in him, which also is going to make his ADP climb. But that's a 2020 bat that I think could be a big one. Kevin A. The Duck says, Michael Conforto, last year he hit 20 home runs, 17 on the road because he played for the Giants. Is that a reach too far to think the change might be good? He will be 32 in 6 weeks. If he's healthy, I think the change is phenomenal.
Agreed. He might be my favorite outfielder of this entire group at the price. Conforto at a 281 ADP.
Yeah, at his price, yeah, because I think Mitchell, but obviously he's 257. 281 Conforto, like I said, I like getting him wherever I can. I'm not opposed to that. If he's a fifth outfielder, I got him in underdogs, got him in DCs. Like, there's a lot of reasons to like the Conforto price tag. No, that's Ben Tidd looking like it's cooked. Bubba's cooked list this time. D. Sawa says, Trevor Larnach is my most owned hitter. Roster Resource has him in a platoon with Austin Martin. Am I crazy for thinking he could push his way into more at-bats and returning really solid value at his ADP?
Who is this again? Sorry.
Trevor Larnach.
Oh, Larnach. I don't think Trevor Larnach graduates from being who he was last year. I think we know who Trevor Larnach is, which is you pick him up in righty-heavy weeks and you don't really worry about him otherwise.
I'll say this much. I think he's still better fit for a platoon, similar to like we said about Wallner and others. And if Wallner's going to play every day, then Larnach probably is the platoon guy once again. I find it hard to be Austin Martin as the platoon partner. That's the only thing that would that's the only thing that would make it be like, okay, I could see a world where Trevor Larnach still gets out there. But the Twins keep saying they want to find a spot for Martin, and they're leaning the outfield because they have so much infield help. But again, just an injury away from that happening. And the top kind of prospect options in the outfield in the minors are left-handed bats. So there's a world where Larnach gets more playing time than we think. I think he starts out in the platoon, though, for sure.
Slick Willie could be that platoon partner.
Slick Willie could do a lot of things, that's for sure. That is sure. All right, that's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to stop at that. Steve Stoughton, name two of your favorite post 300 ADP targets.
Oh, God, I was dreading this one. Actually, I mean, so most of these guys, that's the thing. When I look down on my sheet, that's the other thing with outfield. I don't have much after 75. Like, there's not guys going like after 400 in outfield that I'm really all that interested in either. I know the question was 300 plus ADP. But I'm just kind of making the observation that if I look even further down my sheet by ADP on outfield, it's like it doesn't get any better. And that's nothing groundbreaking, but like I just don't have a whole lot of targets outside of the body part. So I don't know, man. I think 300 plus ADP, just to answer the question, I will go Jake Fraley for the reasons that I talked about earlier, kind of that unique unicorn streamer, as opposed to the other power streamers that are out here.
You didn't want Jacob Young, huh?
It was 300. Oh, yeah, he's 301, isn't he?
Yeah. I'll go. I was going to go Luke Rayleigh at 300 because I kind of like him there.
Luke Rayleigh's fine, though. And first base outfield eligible. It's a streamer, but he runs.
I like Luke Rayleigh. The other guy I'll mention is, I think Johnny DeLuca. I'm going to buy back into that. Johnny DeLuca. Let's go that direction. Again, not in love with any of them, but yeah. T-Cat, can you both name a guy that just missed the cut that you like, unless there's an outfield four coming, which there thankfully is not. So a guy that's not on this board, I'll name one for you if you want to look some more. And maybe I'm biased because I did the Astros podcast dropped on Tuesday. The Chaz McCormick conversation I had with Russell Withers, it opened my mind to at least being at an ADP of 450. Why not? Based on the timeline of McCormick's season last year and a lot of those type of situations. So much more inclined to looking at a guy like Chaz McCormick, and I wouldn't be surprised if he starts to show signs of being like the old Chaz, that we are going to the waiver wire quickly for him.
And but also checks the box for me of he will most likely have, and he probably talked about this with Russell, he will have the opportunity to get that bounce back. Whereas like some of these other guys, if they don't even have it, like Heston Kjerstad, like I just don't think he's going to play. So it's like, I take the shot on the guy who's actually you think is going to play and get a chance. 100%. To do it. So what do you think about, so the body part is Terso Ornelas.
I love him. He was one of
that's
my post
guy, right?
My post 500 guys from our show. Yes. And the way the Padres aren't signing anybody.
Right. Like
he should be starting.
So go with the strain Terso.
Just remember, I told you guys about that one a long time ago when those tweets start popping up in the end of February, early March. All right. Sean Chard says Evan Carter or Jordan Walker, who figures it out this year and is a top 100 picks next year or neither.
We stole Sean's thunder because I think I asked you that earlier in the show. I think we're both going Jordan Walker.
Yes. Now the question is, do we believe they can both perform to the top 100 picks? No.
No. Yes. But
Jordan Walker over Carter. Yes.
Like there's a 10% chance that happens with Jordan Walker. And so, you take that shot. If it doesn't work, you're fine.
Our buddy Scotty Slezak says, as ugly as this list gets, how crucial is it to draft five outfielders by pick 250? Very. Extremely.
Yeah. I would say like...
Unless you want to stream.
Yeah. And I think that's fine to stream a fifth outfielder. Yeah. I think you're fine just going four outfielders before.
There's a lot of guys on this list I have zero problem streaming for a buck.
Exactly.
A week.
And so like going back to what I said earlier, you can't check every box at every position. I'm fine leaving my fifth outfield open and just kind of sorting through this mess based on matchups and streaming throughout the season. I think that's a viable thing to do.
Yep. I'll rehash it again. And some might disagree with me, but in a 12, you can stream your catcher two if you really need to, and you can stream your outfield five all day long. And you can stream like your SP fives and beyond too. Like there's windows for all of that in 12. So go get some studs and then build around it. It's not a stars and scrubs plan, but closest thing you'll get to it probably.
I heard your voice in my head last night when I took Tyler Stevenson in the 12.
It was glorious. That was beautiful. I was so happy you did that, because first we didn't even we buried the freaking lead here.
What, King Willie
at pick 23 of the draft? King William was drafted,
fell into my arms,
to Ryan Bloomfield, the person I never would have expected in round two to take King William. And I almost started, I was eating dinner with my daughter, had the stream on my phone, almost started crying. My daughter looked at me and goes, "What's wrong, Dad?" It was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. I could only get, I won't finish that sentence. I could only get one William on my team, that one, but,
I know where you're going on that one.
But we'll go King William. Somehow this is turning into a catcher podcast. You started now, but I did start it. But if you adjust for catchers and you look at projections, William Contreras is a top 10 overall hitter.
And see, we'll skew this to not just a catcher talk. The discussion you and Ben had about that, about adjusting projections for hitters and catchers and this and that, based on Ben's list he has, which Ben dropped on the Patreon, and then based on your list by using the aggregator and all kinds of other things. Yeah. I thought that was a very informative conversation to help utilize the tools to get a better idea on. It's like it's not quite like the auction value like we talk about, but in a roundabout way, it can be associated with that kind of philosophy. Like, hey, here's the dollar value based on, I guess, positional needs / scarcity and their overall production. Like you found a range, unless I'm totally misinterpreting this, but that's kind of how I got the idea of, yes, he might be hitter 35 on the list, but when you factor in catchers, this, that, and the other, now he fits the mold very high. So that was a very interesting conversation.
That was a fun conversation but then Ben ended it with the team he took William Contreras on, he ended up hating. So.
But we can't all play games on a stat sheet, so it might be a great team. We got to remember that, people. Got to remember that. Focus on those things. All right, back to the outfield.
It is fantasy baseball, a game of numbers.
So. Yes, details, semantics. Andy Splinter says, am I crazy for really liking Fraley at his ADP? Nope, Brian loves him too. Only 5 home runs last year, but was unlucky. 5% home run to fly ball. Hard contact and barrel rates are not great, but solid Z contact. Remember, he was hurt a lot with like wrist injuries too. Above average K percentage in stolen base attempts. Plus, he's in a good park. Feels like a slam dunk at early 400.
Agreed. And only 30, so he's not. He's young enough to turn things around a little bit, so I like it. Yep.
Sweet. Well, that wraps it up, my friend. Final thoughts. Outfield done. We got starting pitcher, a couple episodes of that to do. We got relief pitchers on Friday, though. Don't forget, no Thursday night stream. Friday morning. Friday. 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific time. PitchCon live, Bubba Bloom Pod. But before we get to that, final thoughts on the episode.
At PitchCon, I think what we're going to do is kind of do like we did a hitter roadmap episode last year. We'll do that again closer to opening day. But I think what we'll do at PitchCon is kind of just, and we had a similar request from this in the Discord, was like, we've done all these position previews, but all separate shows and bloom boards and all that sort of thing. I think we're just going to kind of rapid fire each position that we've talked about at hitting so far and just go general strategy of the position, a few targets at each one, and then and boom, boom, boom. And we'll hit all the positions in 1 hour. We're subject to just 1 hour.
Like 55 minutes.
55 minutes.
Booking it. Well, because, you know, Nick brings us on. He'll say his hellos and he lets you go. And then he comes back in to tell you to be done. So you got about 55 minutes.
Yeah. So, hey, if we have to cut the outfield part 3 board off of PitchCon, I think I don't think our fans will be clamoring for that.
We sure won't cut off the catchers, though, I promise.
Well, we have to start with them, right?
Yep. That's the way life goes.
Yep.
But yes, remember PitchCon Friday morning. If you want to donate to a great cause for ALS research, it's pitcherlist.com/PitchCon. All of their stuff will be streamed to playback and on social media platforms. So there'll be lots of ways to find it. We'll help retweet stuff that Nick posts and everything. Or if you have questions, hit us up in the Discord. We'll point you in the direction there as well. But should be an absolute blast. Looking forward to it. We're cruising along. That'll be the last episode of January, folks. Just going to put that in perspective for you. Pitchers and catchers report around the 10th or 11th of February. They start reporting. So, as they like to say in the world, buckle up, folks.
Yep, buckle up.
All right, everybody. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 208. Catch you all next time.